Amen. We got a treat for you this morning. I'm going to ask Angel to come to the platform, and she's going to share this morning, and looking forward to a good word. I know we've had a lot on the agenda today, but you don't want to leave right now anyway. It's pouring down rain. Amen. So just be comfortable and enjoy the word of God. Bless you.
I tell my students I need my spectacles to keep from making a spectacle of myself. So anyway, good morning. I'm Angel Hill. Most of you know me. Some of you who don't. My husband Shannon and I have, I've been coming here for quite some time. I'm from Meridian. Actually, that's where I was born. My mom was a Staples. She was Sam's, my Uncle Sam's older sister. And anybody who knows anything about the Staples family from Glade knows that there's about a million of them. There were about 14 children. And there's probably, I would say, 20 years difference between the oldest and the youngest. So my mom being one of the older ones, I grew up with the younger children. Other than my uncles, they were much like my older brothers and sisters. So I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 25 years. Most of my experience has been in the ER, trauma, and the university setting. Worked at smaller hospitals, which you could see just as much bad stuff there as you could in the bigger hospitals. But like you, Brother Glenn, I was torn. I grew up knowing what I was supposed to do, but not wanting to do it. Blaming everybody else or situations that I could use to keep me from going where I needed to be. My grandfather was a preacher. He was a Pentecostal preacher. And he and my grandmother divorced. And although I was very young, I didn't really get to spend a whole lot of time with him. So I really didn't know him. Of course, you know, being from a small town or living in a small area, people talk, things are said. And so it just kind of left a taste in my mouth about religion, not even really knowing anything that went on. My mother, who was raised Pentecostal, married my father, and they've been married for 54 years. But my father was raised Jehovah's Witness. Talk about East and West. I always told my mom, I said, you know, a mixed marriage like that, no wonder me and my brother are such nuts. Because we were confused. But I always knew something was on the inside of me about spirit, about the deeper things of God. But I did not want to have anything to do with it. Because you want to know why? When I was growing up in South Central Louisiana, it was not cool to have the Holy Ghost. You are not cool. I told Brother Scott Guidry the other day, it's like, you know who was cool? The Catholic kids. They were. You didn't want to, I would have been Catholic, Methodist, whatever it was, but I did not want to be me, who I was supposed to be. And although my mother took me to a Church of God, and I knew I was supposed to be there to be part of that, I could never come to terms with it. The enemy was just pulling me. And it wasn't until later that I found out why. Because there was so much treasure on the inside that the enemy did not want to come forth. So anyway, I went many, many years not coming to terms with who I was spiritually. And there were many times where I wanted just to get close to God, and there were many times where I didn't. So the time came for me to go off to college, off to school. First, I wanted to be a flight attendant. And I was devastated that Delta told me I was too tall. You have to be under 6'1 with 3-inch heels, and that wasn't me. Then I applied to nursing school, and I was a veterinarian major at the same time. Well, I got into the school of nursing. So I was thinking, I don't know. And my dad said, you got 4 years that I'll pay for. The rest of it is on you. So I thought, okay, that's incentive enough. I'll go to nursing school. Not knowing that that's what I was supposed to do. Well, I went to Delta State University in Cleveland, Mississippi, because I guess thinking like Brother Glenn, God wasn't in California. I surely didn't think he was in the Mississippi Delta. Because if you ever been there, it's flat. But anyway, I went there and I joined a sorority. And although sororities and fraternities will say they're based on Christian ideals, oh, we're rooted in Christianity, we're da-da-da-da, not. The swaps and their parties are just alcohol-driven binges. It's, you know, if somebody tells you that they want to join a sorority because it's a good Christian, no. My experience. Were there good people there? Absolutely. Misled? Yes. But I was right along with them. I wanted to be right there with them because I didn't want to be different. That's right. I did not want to be different. And I struggled with that because at the same time, God was calling me to do something different. But I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be just like everybody else. I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want to be a holy roller. A pew jumper. Anyway, there were nights where I would lay down and I thought I was losing my mind, Brother Glenn. I mean, just I seriously thought I was losing my mind. Voices telling me, oh, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can live forever, you're young, you're not going to die. And then another voice, another feeling that would just reach right into my chest and pull me up out of my bed in my dorm room and say, Angel, I need you. I mean, just something so strong, but at the same time so scary that if I felt like if I didn't comply, then something bad was going to happen to me. And this went on for several weeks. I really think my roommate thought that I was having a schizophrenic break. And I did too, as a matter of fact. So one Sunday, we had chapter church. And what that was is some of the girls who lived there locally in Cleveland would get groups of girls together who were not from the area and take them to a church service. So on this one particular Sunday, we went to a Methodist church that was actually my roommate's home church. And she said, come on, we're just going to go to Sunday school. I was like, okay, I can do that. It's Methodist. I can do that. So we went to church, and we went to an adult Sunday school class, and the pastor was leading it, and they were telling a story about a family there in Cleveland, Mississippi. Very wealthy family. The patriarch of the family, the older man, had just passed away. It was him and his wife, and they had a son and a daughter-in-law. And then they had children. It was a small family. But they were telling the story there in that church about how the patriarch of the family, the old man who had just passed away, right before he died, he looked to his wife and he said, "When I die, I'm going to send an angel to take care of you." They're like, yeah. Okay, we got you, you know. And he was like, "No, seriously, I'm going to send an angel to take care of you." He was looking to his wife. And she said, "Okay." And they said soon after that he went on, he passed away. Well, 2 days before this man had passed away, his daughter-in-law had ordered a shoebox organizer from Sears and Roebuck Company. And the next day after he passed away, she went to pick it up because it was for her mother-in-law, which was his wife. So she went to pick it up, and she told him who she was, and they said, "Yeah, we have a package for you." And so she went up there, and she signed for it, and shook it. She said, "There's something rolling around in here." She said, "There's nothing that should be rolling around in this box." And he said, "Well, let's just open it up." He said, looked on the packing slip, and it had her name, and it had one shoebox organizer, and had where it came from. And so they opened it up, and it was a bunch of those little white peanut things in there, you know, that they pack things with. And so she turned it upside down, shook it. The only thing that came out was this, like, plastic-looking angel about this big. And she was like, "I didn't order this." And the guy says, "Well, you know, I don't know." He said, "Our district manager just happens to be here today. Let's go get him." So he went, looked at the box, took it in the back. About 20 minutes later, he came back and said, "Ma'am," he said, "I don't know what this is." He said, "It doesn't exist in Sears stock. Never has, never will." He said, "As far as we're concerned, it's yours." He said, "The initials of this person who packed it," he said, there is no such person with these initials that works in our packing department." And she was like, "Okay." And she says, "Well, can you just go ahead and order me that shoebox organizer?" And he said, "Yeah, I will do that." Well, he said, "But you can take this." Well, it didn't hit her until she was coming home. She was like, "Whew. You know, I wonder if this was what Pop was talking about, you know, this angel." So she went back home and she told the wife and she told her husband. And it was just like this huge, big deal. I mean, they had a big write-up in the paper about it and everything. It was just huge. And these people, they were really, and it's something, you know. And they, I mean, it was a huge, big deal. But I was sitting in the back of that Sunday school class, and I was thinking, that's what I want. That is what I want from you, God. Undeniable confirmation that I'm supposed to be a nurse and I'm supposed to be for you. And let me tell you how merciful God is. He should have struck me right there because I was angry. I was like, these are Methodist people. They don't even understand the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit. And you did that for them. And I have been wanting you to confirm something in me for so long. I want that. I really did. And I was angry. So I went back to my dorm room. And I had many more nights of getting woke up out of sleep. My mind a battleground. It got to the point where I said, "Okay, God, I give up. I'm yours. If you will just please show me beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm yours and that I'm supposed to be a nurse and that I'm supposed to help people." That night, I slept better than I have ever slept, ever. And I got into the school of nursing there. And this was probably 2 months later. You know, when you're first getting started, you get your clinical patient, and that's your very first patient that you're gonna go and take care of as a student nurse. You have an instructor there, but you get to go and meet them. And I said, okay, God, you know, I'm waiting for you to give me this sign. This is it. And I know, is it just the peaceful night's sleep? Is that your confirmation? Just help me. So anyway, I went the night before to meet my clinical patient. And it was part of the hospital there in Cleveland that was on a long-term unit, which means it was kind of almost like a, not a full-fledged nursing home, but like an assisted living. And the people had like little apartments there. It's really nice. And so I went, and they told me who my patient was. I went and knocked on the door. I mean, there are, you know, probably 100 patients there, and this was my assignment. So I went and knocked on the door. I walked in, and I said, hey, Miss Russian, my name's Angel. I'm going to be your student nurse tomorrow. And her family's sitting right there on the couch, and they're looking at me like this. And I'm thinking, okay, that's my sign. They hate me. They hate me already. I'm not supposed to be a nurse. I'm done. That's it. But she was just as nice as she could be and so welcoming to me. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to do this because she was such a nice lady. I know her family was looking at me like I was a three-headed monster, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I went back that night and prepared to take care of her the next day. And when I showed up to clinical the next day, it was amazing. We had the best time. I loved her so much. Her family wasn't there. And I helped her. And I thought, you know, I could do this nursing thing. But God said something to me. He said, I got something else for you. I was like, okay. But regardless, we just had the best time. And I went home after that clinical experience. And those of you who have relatives or whatever who are in nursing school, there's something that they have to do called a nursing plan of care. And it can be a challenge. And this lady, hers was going to be a challenge because I was a first semester nursing student and she had cardiac problems. She had a lot of heart problems. So those types of care plans are difficult. Well, lucky for me, there were 4 girls who were in my sorority that lived down the hall that were seniors. And I thought, wow, I can just go and get them. They can help me. So I went and I knocked on their door and they said, come in. And they said, hey, Angel. And I said, hey, I said, I need some help. I said, I need some help writing this plan of care for my first clinical patient. And they said, okay, all right, let's see what you got. And so I was talking to them and they said, who is your patient? I said, Miss Russian. And Brother Glenn, it was like the earth, time stood still. It's like everybody was moving in slow motion. They looked at me and they said, you have Miss Russian. I said, yeah. They said, isn't she so sweet? I said, yeah. But can you help me with this cardiac problem? Carefully. They said, Angel. And I said, yeah. They said, we know the strangest story about her. Her husband on his deathbed said he was going to send her an angel to take care of her. I got that lady. I got that lady. I got that lady that I sat back in that church, angry with God. Why can't you do that for me? He did. He did that for me. And he can do that for you.
what he did for me, he can do for you. Because the Bible says that he is no respecter of persons. And as I was trying to figure out how to talk about this today, because I just didn't want to give a testimony, the Lord dealt with me about several things. And in Psalms 77, verse 11, it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. I believe that we need to focus on the good things of God. Everything, because the battle is right here. And I did have a penny up here I was going to show you. But what is in your focus? What is in your line of vision? Is it problems, situations, or is it God? Do you know you can take a penny and you can hold it so close to your eye that it actually will block out the sun? Did you know that? You can just take that penny and the closer you get it to your eye, you will completely block out the sun in your line of sight. But there's no way that penny is bigger than the sun. And so sometimes that's what we do with our problems and things that are in our life. We make them bigger than God. But change your perspective. God should be in the forefront of your mind. And those good deeds, you know, those good things that God has done for us, he did them for the people of long ago, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they made remembrance to it. And they were memorial stones so we could focus on what God has done. The good things. I was reading in Joshua, right before Joshua brought the people into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan. And it was harvest time. So that means the Jordan was at flood stage. So there was a lot of water. And when the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when their feet touched that water, you know what happened? Those waters rolled back. The flow was cut off, and the water that was there went up. And after Joshua and the people of Israel crossed over, the priests were still in the middle of the Jordan, and he sent 12 men, one from each tribe, to go back and get a stone or a boulder and bring back. And you know what Joshua did? They made a memorial stone there where they set camp to remember what God had done. And what's confirmation to me this morning, as I was reading through that, towards the end of the fourth chapter of Joshua, in the 15th verse, it said, Then the Lord said to Joshua, Command the priest to carry the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. That's the first time I've ever seen in the Bible where the ark of the covenant was called the ark of the testimony. Because I wanted confirmation that this was the right time for me to give my testimony, for me to lay my memorial stone for you. And I believe that this memorial stone will help someone. Because like I said before, what God will do or has done for anyone in the past or anyone here now, he will do it again. He is not a respecter of persons. I wrote something down and I'm going to finish. Memorial stones restore faith. They are a powerful tool in remembrance that God establishes and inspires and ignites faith. It will lead people to encounter Him. By looking at biblical examples of building memorials, we see the importance of remembering testimony. Answered prayers are a gift that must be treasured and focused on for an eternity. By creating memorials, we can remember God's goodness and increase our faith that if He did it once, He will do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel.